Blantis, and it's Wednesday. Happy hump day to you. From the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive, this is WGN. Thanks for joining us. I'm here 1-3 this afternoon, and we're going to be getting ready to hear from the president later. 5 o'clock, you said, right, Steve? He and the federal health officials, the CDC, they're going to step up to the microphone, and we're going to carry it live.
Right, you. 5 o'clock it's set for.
Yeah, so it's interesting because they're going to give us the latest on the coronavirus. Yesterday afternoon, I believe, the CDC came out, and it kind of had a change of tone about how they've been talking about the coronavirus. Initially, it was more about how to prevent it from coming here, and then it sort of moved to, hey, let's expect it to come here and be prepared. Well, that's what I heard. It's not a matter of if. But when?
That's kind of what the CDC was saying, right? That it's not that that something will come here, so it's best to be prepared,
right?
And the president was really downplaying it yesterday in India, saying that it wasn't a big deal, that it was contained. Kudlow, the economic advisor, was saying it was all zipped up or airtight or something like that. I mean, but you can thread the needle, and there's a way all of this can be true, that right now it's not a problem, and the CDC says, but it could be a problem, so this is the time to start making preparations.
Right. Best to err on the side of extreme caution in this kind of thing, and that just makes sense.
Now, the Democrats are having none of that. Azar, the Health and Human Services Secretary, was on the Hill yesterday and today, and they're saying that, the Trump administration has gutted funding for some of the agencies that would deal with this, and that the money they're asking for is too little.
There's
a little politics there.
The politics side of this, and there always is, unfortunately, I would say, in a situation like this. I know the White House has been pushing Congress to approve a $2.5 billion package of supplemental funding for this virus. But you're right, Democrats saying we need $8.5 billion. And guess what? We also need a drug czar. We need a point person on this in order to sort of be the guy or the woman who handles it. So I will watch for that later today to see if that kind of person is appointed.
You want that job?
No, I do not. I'm not qualified for that job, and I do not want that job. Hey, something interesting. I just logged into Twitter, and I put in coronavirus to see what the latest and what was breaking, if anything at all. And at the very top of the page now, I think this is very helpful. It says, know the facts. And there's a link through you click on to get to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they really have this comprehensive rundown of everything going on, from situation updates in all the countries, the cases in the United States. They have a summary risk assessment, but then there's symptoms, how it spreads, testing, how to protect yourself. Really, I mean, for a government website, really easy to navigate and great information right there.
Well, and the thing is, it's all about, keeping it in perspective, because it is a big deal, but it's not an overwhelming deal. And, the efforts are to try to keep it from becoming that. I mean, Lori Lightfoot spoke out today. She was a little disappointed in the language of the CDC, saying, look, we are prepared for this. You should go about, live your normal lives. Don't overreact to this flu. I mean, we're hearing about, what are there, 80,000 cases out of how many billions of people in the world?
Right.
I mean, we're not all going to get the coronavirus.
No, we're not. And we're more likely to get the flu, which is the other thing we point out all the time here. Illinois has been hard hit by the flu this year. And so that is a priority. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I appreciated the comments from the mayor, because I think the city has been handling this very well in terms of keeping us informed, but also making those preparations. So it sounds good. But I want to let you know this, Steve. Actress Gwyneth Paltrow is not helping. She posted...
Did you see it on Instagram? When does Gwyneth Paltrow help?
She's never helping. She's always getting attention. But because she's the actress from the movie, did you see the movie?
No.
Contagion?
No.
Okay, she's in that movie. So to see her, and she's posting this and thousands of people are sharing it and whatever. She's just talking about, she's sitting on a plane. She's wearing her mask. And this looks like a kind of a fancy mask. It's got little holes that you could sort of, I don't know, it fits very tightly on her face. It's dark colored. It's not one of those white masks you see.
Is she serious?
I can't tell. She's like en route to Paris.
I bet she's serious.
Paranoid, prudent, panicked.
So, I mean, I'm texting with my wife, who's sitting on a plane at LAX.
Okay, what's she
right
saying?
Now, nothing. It's not even coming up. I mean,
Right.
She's flying home.
She's like, I'll be home soon.
Right, exactly.
Get dinner ready for me. I know, I'm just saying this is like the whole celebrity thing.
I get it.
You do. The other thing about it, that she's wearing this mask, and we will revisit this issue because a lot of people have asked about it. I've never worn a mask. I don't have plans to wear one. Have you ever worn a mask? You travel extensively.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't get that.
Not into that yet. I mean, I guess I could change my mind on that, but right now I firmly am in the no mask category. But we're going to talk to Dr. Steven Salzman coming up on the show. He's going to weigh in again about do the masks work? What do they work for? And do they really help? And which ones to look for? That kind of thing. If you plan on getting one, or if you know somebody, you see them a lot. When have you ever traveled to Asia? You do see them. And I know earlier on the show you were talking with John Williams about people amending their travel plans for the summertime.
Right.
That's a real issue, I think. I mean, we plan to go to Japan this summer, and we are not changing that plan as of right now. We're still going full forward with it. The airfares are unbelievably expensive, given that this is going on.
They're inexpensive or expensive?
Inexpensive.
Yeah,
I would think with some travel fears, and certainly that's going on, and maybe Asian countries are not able to travel out, China in particular.
Well,
the fares would go down.
I'm taking a group to Madrid and Paris in May, and it hasn't even occurred. I mean, we hear about trouble in Italy or something, but it's an isolated area. I'm going to take a group, hopefully, to Sweden in September. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. There are millions of people flying every day and moving around the world, billions of people flying, moving around the world, and I just am not going to be paralyzed by that.
No, I'm in that camp too. 312-981-7200. Let us know. Are you kind of changing your plans at all, or are you staying at home or doing anything at all because of this going on? Is this affecting you in some way? Again, my daughter's 8. We've usually just traveled domestically, and we thought this may be the year where she might appreciate being in a country like Japan and maybe understand some of it. Maybe, kind of be a fun trip for the family and a big special trip. But that's still on our plans. We're still planning to do it.
Wow, so your first overseas trip with your daughter is to Japan?
Yeah,
Some serious plane time.
I know, but they have iPads. This is how it works. I mean, this is modern parenting.
Right.
It works. It keeps everybody happy, and it just sort of works. So, yes, that's happening. We will check in with Dr. Salzman. Just get a couple of reminders about the things that we need to know about. Ash Wednesday kicked off at the Vatican, and there were people wearing masks there. And in parts of Italy, I guess they canceled some of the masses on this Ash Wednesday. So that's interesting because there are some cases in Italy. So again, just taking caution around the world as they try to do what's best to protect everyone and protect it from spreading. We're going to be talking with Ryan Burrow to see the very latest on the coronavirus. He's been covering it for WGN Radio.
He speaks through a mask. He does very well.
Somehow he sounds so clear.
Right.
I want to ask him.
The mask deepens his voice a little bit.
He's got a great voice, but I want that mask. I mean, it's great. We're going to talk to Ryan coming up here. Stay with us. Anna DeVlantis here on WGN. We've been talking about the coronavirus as the president and CDC and health officials will address the nation coming up here, 5 o'clock our time. And we will carry it here on WGN, so you can hear it here. Of course, we'll be summing it up throughout the rest of the evening, afternoon and evening, here on at the top and bottom of the hours. We're also talking about people amending or changing your travel plans. Are you doing that this summer or whenever you plan to travel? Have you changed anything up because of this? 847, I'm planning a cruise to Italy and Greece beginning in May. No insurance, not concerned a bit. So moving forward. And we also want to talk about masks later on with the good doctor. But right now, bringing us up to speed on the very latest with all of this and some interesting local effects or impact from this virus, particularly involving Chinese students who are here at the University of Illinois. Ryan Burrow is here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just spoke with someone at the University of Illinois. They've got 6,000 Chinese students. It's always been a campus that has a lot of Chinese students. Some people think that's wonderful. Others say, well, wouldn't you rather have more Illinois students there than Chinese students? But, that's a debate for another day.
But it's a lot, 6,000.
It is. It is for a college campus. Now, there are issues with coronavirus, with these students that maybe we're not thinking about. We've been talking about some of these study abroad programs, and obviously it's been an issue in China this semester. There are other issues with these students, namely, number one, what to do with the students who are currently on campus in Champaign, Urbana, and when the semester ends and they can't go home.
Yeah.
What do you do with these students now? That's something that they're trying to figure out right now.
I hadn't thought about that. Plus, those students, what they must be dealing with, if they have any impacted family members and that kind of thing, they would want to go home. Maybe they don't. I can't even imagine that situation.
There are also students studying in China. These are Chinese students I don't want to call it a sister university because it's all part of the same partnership, but they have been out of class for months now. And what is going to happen to those seniors who were unable to finish their class? They're still trying to figure out what to do in those kind of situations because You know, I mean, class was essentially canceled for them, and school has been canceled.
So what next? And then what about the people who they would accept for next year?
That's a great point. So Friday, the acceptance, what we call them letters, as you and I remember letters. It's an email.
I just remember the envelope. The envelope was like, yes. My mind said the next 4 years. I was like, yes. I got it in Northwestern.
I just got mine. I found it in a box. It says, congratulations, you've been accepted. That was for Valparaiso University. But yeah, that is no longer a thing anymore. Now you search online and you know, you see if you've been approved. But now you've got all of these students from China who want to go to school here. They're going to get that notice on Friday, and what U of I is trying to figure out is what to tell them. We'll see you in the fall. I mean, we don't know that that's the case. Will they be allowed to come in the fall? Are they going to set up an online course for them to begin? Are they going to set up some kind of satellite? Are they going to allow them to defer until the spring? I mean, these are questions that they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, I guess what would you do? You can go online and take classes. It's not quite the same, but maybe that's an answer in the interim until they figure stuff out.
I mean, they'd have to start moving on that pretty quickly because we're talking about the fall semester, so you'd have to get all that coursework up there. It's doable, but I mean, there are a lot of factors that they've got to sift through to get to that point.
We talked to a professor on the show a couple weeks ago who had, they have a number of people from Wuhan or the general area, family members impacted, that people who were at U of I, that they wanted to go home and they didn't because what was going on there, and they sort of have a support network there because of the large population, Chinese students there.
Yeah.
So they're thinking about all this, and that's I wish them the best with figuring it out. Ryan, I want to talk about the CDC with a little bit of that tone change, talking about, hey, let's prepare for it here. Let's just use an abundance of caution and understand that we need to prepare businesses, hospitals, communities, schools even, to remind people what to do and what to, you know, how to just be prepared for this eventually coming here. And, it, you know, I guess some people looked at that as sort of pushing the panic button, and maybe did they need to say that? Or did you think they handled it correctly there, right way?
You need to walk the line because, on one hand, you want to make people aware that, hey, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months from now, we could be in real trouble and you have to be prepared for it. But on the other hand, too, you need to tell people, look, there are only 50 cases in the United States. All of those people are quarantined. There have been no deaths. In fact, the death rate of coronavirus worldwide at this point is 0.7%. So you don't want to freak people out, but on the other hand, you want to start putting that bug in people's ear. Schools, senior living communities, hospitals, colleges, be prepared, because we're starting to see cases internationally pop up that aren't necessarily linked to Wuhan, China. And as a result of that, you've got this community spread fear. All of a sudden, someone shows up and you don't know how they got it, you know, or they slipped through the cracks, or maybe this isn't directly tied to Wuhan. Maybe it's tied to something else. It just spread first in Wuhan. So, you know, that's one of the big concerns, is this could be on your back porch before you know it.
Right, because before that, the vast majority of cases still, I believe, are from Wuhan. If you either traveled there, you live there, or you live with somebody or very close, you're very close to somebody who's been there or traveled there. That seems to be the cases that we've seen so far, but you're pointing out there are few, and very few at this point, that don't have that connectivity.
And Iran and Italy and Korea, and, you know, we had Croatia as the first case, and France has cases, and it's like the more and more cases, the more and more people are eventually going to be exposed, and this thing's just going to spread. So they want people to understand. Now, a lot of these places, schools and hospitals, they're used to dealing with norovirus. They're used to dealing with meningitis. They've got policies in place. So many of those are still similar, but obviously this is scary because we don't exactly know how far this is going to go and how widespread it's
going to
be.
Everything about it, I guess, a vaccine is in testing, but maybe 18 months away is what we're hearing. So that's
the hope. Yeah.
That's the hope there, and there's a lot of hope for that. I think I'm all sort of bracing for this news conference because the president might be slightly at odds with the CDC on this kind of thing, and maybe some other federal officials. And Steve and I were already talking about, there have been some political messaging. This has become, in this election year, a political battle, which it doesn't need to be and probably shouldn't be. It's a health issue, first and foremost. But this news conference today, what's expected there in terms of who's going to step up to the mic and what kinds of things we think we're going to learn?
We don't know. Pretty generic news conference. We don't know if he'll take any questions, if he'll read a statement, if there will be people from the CDC there. We really don't know at this point. But yeah, he's got to strike an interesting balance, right? Because on one hand, you want to warn people like the CDC has to, you know, obviously make preparations. But on the other hand, you don't want to freak out the markets, right? I mean, that's part of what he's been talking about. He doesn't want the markets to freak out, which is what, you know, we've seen this downturn. And so, you know, it'll be an interesting balance, and we'll see how he walks it and what kind of messaging is out there.
I know, Steve, you were talking about the market effect earlier because we had a couple of down days, and then we had a day where today it seemed like it sort of recouped a lot of those losses. Let me look here if I can look it up here. I don't know if Steve's, I can't see right now, but the market was like about even. Oh, now it's down 60 points or so. So it's, you know, it's kind of hovering around there. It seems like the big down days, but volatility is what everybody's talking about. Yes. When this kind of thing is happening, there's a lot of uncertainty, and that's what happens. That's what results. So maybe there's sort of this calming way that may be the focus of this news conference, that let's calm our fears. This is not a big panic moment. This is a moment to get organized and just prepare.
Well, and everything the president has said to this point about the numbers and really the U.S. having it under control are somewhat right. I mean, you know, there are 50 people, but there's no widespread. Everyone's been contained to some form. It's just, you don't want to have, from a political standpoint, you don't want to have your mission accomplished moment, right? Mm-hmm. We all remember that sign when George W. Bush had the mission accomplished sign behind him, and then obviously the war continued to drag on. So you don't want to have that moment where you're caught saying something that, you know, 3 months from now you're regretting.
Yeah, they're talking about funding today. Maybe they'll announce some kind of a drug czar in charge of this, a point person who is the person who's in charge of all the coronavirus issues in the United States. That may happen as well. And the president, of course, took to Twitter today to lash out at media for doing everything possible to make the coronavirus look as bad as possible, including panicking the markets. So he'll probably have a word or two to say about that. I'd imagine, I'm just guessing that may happen. The Olympics is another concern because it's in Japan this year.
Yes.
July 24th
through
opening
August 10th.
Ceremony.
Yeah.
So that's, they have cases in Japan, I think just under 200, maybe a couple deaths, two deaths. So a small number, but still it is present there. Any word about what they may be doing to prepare there?
This is interesting because I actually just booked my flight 2 weeks ago for Japan.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah.
Of course you are.
And, cool. You know, we got the word from Richard Pound. He is the longest serving member on the IOC since 1978. And he basically set up a timeline that said things have to get figured out over the next 3 months as far as how coronavirus is morphing and changing and where it's ending up, because, you know, if they don't have any clear solutions by the end of May, they may have to cancel the Olympics.
Really?
You know,
he actually said that.
He did say that. I mean, that's going to be kind of the break point. There have been discussions, well, why don't you move it to London? Why don't you move it to Rio, where they had it, you know, just 4 years ago? You've already got all the venues, just slide everyone in there. But there's no guarantee that coronavirus won't be in those locations, right? I mean, it's everywhere. And the concern is you've got all of these people, hundreds of thousands of fans, tens of thousands of media, thousands of athletes, all coming into one centralized location. And, you know, it could create a real problem. So maybe scrapping it would be the best. But they're not there. The IOC walked it back, said, no, we're still full steam ahead. This is going to happen. Olympic opening day is July 24th, and we'll go on from there.
Because you think about the time, energy, and money involved in creating those venues and just building what they need in order to have all of the events that they need, and involves multiple cities and multiple areas and the planning. And I mean, it just, you couldn't duplicate it in a short period of time.
And the athletes are still being told full steam ahead. So they're not being restricted as to where they can travel at all. We know that there's some big tournaments going on in India coming up this month, Mexico. I mean, these are qualifying tournaments to try to get athletes into the games, and they've got to travel. And so far they've, you know, outside of China and maybe a couple locations here and there, they're all full steam ahead.
Yeah, here's that thing I was talking about before. I found the paper here that was in front of me. The first clinical trials for a possible coronavirus vaccine could begin in 1 to 2 months. The vaccine that people could use is a year and a half away at best. And that is the head of the National Institutes of Health Infectious Disease chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci. So that's what they're looking for. It's a race against time to try to get something like that.
Do you know what they've been using for the patients who are right now quarantined in the United States? That's been very successful.
What?
Really simple. Pain relievers, fluids, and ventilators if they've got lung issues. That's
sort of like the flu.
Kind of like the flu, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that just like that. The searches, by the way, a data analysis company dug into the search volume on Google. You can tell people really are searching. This is in the U.S., too. This isn't globally. They looked at the searches for what is coronavirus, up 139,000%, of course, because it wasn't really on our radar before just, that was just last month, 1 month. And then the searches for how do I buy a mask near me rose up 3,000%. In that month. And so they just, people are actually looking. And then where do I go? Places, Walgreens was the top, Walmart, and then Home Depot was the third one in terms of what the data is showing. So, you know, people are hearing these stories and they prepare. And we always like to end this by saying that the flu is a big deal. It's a big deal in Illinois this season. We've heard we've been hit particularly hard here in Illinois. Children have been hit hard, especially hard. And it's the same kinds of ways you protect yourself, right? Same thing.
It seems like it. And yeah, the flu is deadlier. It's deadlier in America than coronavirus. But that being said, there are just a lot of question marks about how long this is going to last, when it's going to start to fade. There have been, you know, discussions that maybe it'll start fading when it gets warmer outside. But we just don't know.
You looking forward to going to cover the Olympics? You covered how many now, Ryan?
Actually, this would be my first Olympics.
Oh,
so.
I thought you, okay, you covered the Richard Jewell story, but you weren't actually covered. Okay, sort of thought you were the Olympic guy because of your coverage.
I could be the Olympic guy. Sure.
You would be a nice guy.
Got a podcast,
nice
by the way. Quest for Gold. It's at WGNRadio.com. So, yeah.
Congrats, Ryan. Yeah. Ryan Burrow from ABC News and WGN Radio. We always like hearing from you. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Coming up on the show, our next guest is a very important person in all of our lives because when she comes here, she saves you money. This is what happens. She'll either save you money or someone in your family money. This is what happens. Maria Pappas, the Cook County Treasurer, says a lot of people are not claiming what they should on their property taxes. And then she also tells us about how there's a lot of unclaimed property in the state of Illinois, and she is trying to get that back in your hands. She wants you to get your money. She's going to tell you how to do that coming up here on WGN. Okay, Maria Pappas is here. She's going to tell you how you can save money, and she always does. Every time she's in here, I'll find a family member or somebody who is not doing what they should be with their property taxes, either not claiming exemptions they should or that they have unclaimed little checks out there they didn't know about. This always happens, and it hopefully will happen to you, so she's going to tell us more about that. Maria Pappas, the Cook County Treasurer, has just stepped into the studio, and Maria, so happy. How happy you're here.
Thank you.
Because you always save people money. You've heard me talking about this. This always doesn't this happen? You show up, you say, plug your name in, you know, do this.
I've got some good news for you today.
Okay, let's hear that.
Just let me give background first. So we had 1 million people hit our website, which is cookcountytreasurer.com, in July. So why is it that 1 million people would come to my website in July? Because I think the thing that matters most to people, beyond crime and education and anything else happening in this city, is their property and what happens to their property and if they owe anything on their property. So we have begun a programming of cookcountytreasurer.com. And if you go to that site, you can do it either on your phone, your iPhone,
cookcountytreasurer.com.
Yeah, you can go there. You can go there and you can also do it on your iPad. You can do it sitting with people over dinner on your phone. You're going to find that site, and in the middle of that site, there's a purple box. And the purple box says your property tax overview. So what we've done is we have programmed this site so that anyone no longer needs to put in their property identification number, which is usually a 14-digit number associated with your property.
Right, because you're like, where is that? I don't have it. I got to find
that.
Yeah,
I don't have it. I don't know where it is. So, I mean, nobody. I don't even know what mine is. I've never known what it is, and I've owned property for 30
I love
years.
That.
But I do know my address. I do know how to get to my home. So I've made this really simple, except, and listen, when you put in your address, do not put in north, south, east, or west.
Just the numbers.
Just the number. Just 180 East Delaware. No east, just 180 Delaware, Chicago, 60611. So you can put in any address in Cook County. In fact, you can put in any piece of property that you have owned going back 20 years. So
if there's something in the past that was maybe given, what would you do that for? I guess I don't understand.
Okay, so going back 20 years. So in 2015, you closed on a piece of property. You were the buyer of something on East Delaware Street here in Chicago. At the closing, the seller said, Anna, I'm going to pay your taxes in March. You buy it in January.
Okay.
I'm going to pay your taxes in March. you now have this house for the very first time in 2015. You get your bill in the mail in March. You forget that at the closing, the seller said they were going to pay it. So you pay it. Your tax bill's $5,000. I now have sitting on my computer at this address on Delaware a double payment of $5,000. So my, and then there's a little button which says apply now, and Anna punches apply now.
That's all you have to do?
Yeah, that's all you have to do. And then you
so it's sort of saved in a bank account for you on your site. Am I understanding that
the
right?
The money has already gone out to the 2,200 governments in Cook County. So once you claim it, they give it back.
Oh.
Once you claim it, they give it back. So we are sitting on $76 million worth of double payments going back 20 years. And some of them are pretty hefty because some of them are on commercial pieces of property. So now you're going to scroll down just a little on this Cook County Treasurer.com website, which has just informed you of whether you owe or you don't owe.
Very easy to use, I will say.
Yeah, very easy.
Very.
But we have something
user-friendly.
We have something coming up on May 8th, which is going to be the sale of 57,000 homes. So I know that's not the subject of the interview today, but I'm going to show you how those homes can be saved because people don't know that they have money. So let me take my first example. Is this on air? Is anybody like watching? Are we on TV?
We are on the stream, sure. So
okay,
we do
so
have a number
stream.
Of people who check us out that hold
take
it
a
up.
Pick at this.
There you go.
Take a pick at this.
It's
this
a nice white frame house.
This is a white frame house in Palatine.
Okay.
It's a split level frame brick home. And if we put 909 Fairway Court into the computer, mm-hmm. we're going to get this picture of this house. But if we scroll down, we're going to see that this homeowner did not get exemptions for the year 2018. What does that mean? It means that they didn't get their homeowner's exemptions. They paid $1,900. They were billed $7,000 for this coming March. They owe $8,000, but I owe them $5,000.
Oh, wow.
Why do I owe them $5,000? Because in 2017, they never claimed their exemptions. So this is an example of how you would get someone who's on this tax sale list off the tax sale list. Here's another one. This one's really interesting.
So that's fascinating because this person, their home is literally being sold from
their home is
because
be sold
they're
for taxes.
Delinquent, and yet the money you owe this person is more. It's almost as much as they owe. They could get their house back.
Right. And
so,
no,
but if they went to CookCountyTreasurer.org,
.com.
I'm so sorry. CookCountyTreasurer.com. I want to get that right because we have several listeners asking. They would see that.
They would see that. So this is 909 Fairway Court in Palatine. If you happen to be listening and you're in Palatine, tell this person. We're sending them a certified notice that this is happening, but
good for you.
Lots of times, and this is appears to be a senior, if they are a senior citizen, they get a certified. They think it's a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon.
Or a scam.
It goes on the couch.
Sometimes
right.
Think,
they just
right?
toss it. They don't know. So let's go to a very famous ward, which is Patrick Thompson, the old Daily Ward, the 11th Ward.
Okay.
This is a 1,300 square foot home. They were billed $5,389 for their taxes. They have no exemptions. The total value of their exemptions in 2017 was $5,169. And they are missing an exemption for $500, an exemption for $600. So this is one more example of someone. This is someone in Bridgeport. If you know this person at 3230 South Normal, you need to give them a call. I've got a couple more examples, but before I go through the couple more examples, mm-hmm. I want to show you something else about this site which can help you get money because beyond the $79 million for anything that you've owned going back 20 years, We also have an exemption part of this.
Okay.
What's the exemption part? There are homeowners exemptions. There are senior exemptions. There are senior freeze exemptions. There are veterans exemptions. all of these things contribute to the reduction of your bill. So if you scroll down a little further past the refund section after you put in your address, you're going to find exemptions. And it's a grid of 4 years because exemptions, you can only get the money going back 4 years.
So I see this right underneath. It says apply for a missing exemption. So if you look at this, and it's very easy to read, you see, did I get my homeowner? Did I get my senior citizen, right. my senior freeze, my veteran, disabled? You can say, let me click this link and apply for
you
your money
back.
You
can apply for it right online. You can send it back to us, and we will refund you the money within 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
Within 4 to 6 weeks. So what we're finding,
awesome.
We did a phone bank yesterday, an Hispanic phone bank yesterday. Mm-hmm. In 4 hours, we refunded $133,000.
Get out.
To non-English speaking Hispanics. Why? Because in their culture, there's no such thing as exemptions. So until we went on in their language, on television, with Hispanic-speaking people at the other end of the phone, they had, like, no idea. It was like box office. After we left the station, people were still calling in. They're actually still coming into the office today. Like, do I have any money?
And I know you've translated into Polish, so many other languages.
So
it's
this site,
available for people to do that.
This site is up in 126 languages. Believe it or not, we've had over 500,000 downloads in foreign languages, which is amazing.
We have a ton of questions for you, Maria. Maria Pappas, Cook County Treasurer. She's trying to save you money, and we're going to get to some of your questions. Keep them coming. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call, number to text us, and she can help you. The one thing I want to make sure we get to, because you have like $40 million in outstanding senior exemptions, the people just,
senior homestead and senior freeze exemptions
that they just haven't claimed. So
they got it last year, and then the notice came out for them to apply for it, and they just tossed the notice.
So we're gonna
see. In some instances, I have a lot of seniors who never, ever, ever applied for it. So for 4 years, I owe them $2,200.
Huh.
And because they didn't get the senior exemption, they also didn't get the homeowner's exemption, I owe them roughly $4,000. So we're on a hunt.
We are on a hunt. And we're going
to
come back
to
for this hunt. We're going to find you. And maybe it's you, or maybe it's someone you know. Maybe it's your grandma, your next door neighbor, your friend. And we'll figure this out. Maria Pappas is here. And we have been talking about the Cook County property taxes. I know we all have gotten hit with some increases. And so if there's any way to save money, particularly if you're a senior, we were mentioning that, Maria, there is a way that a lot of people are forgetting to do, because every year you have to do it again.
Every
is that
year you
the
have
thing?
To do it, except next year you won't have to do it if you've applied for the first time. But we still have a raft of $44 million out there for people who haven't applied. I'd like to give you a couple more examples before we go
Please.
To the questions.
Let's do it. We've got a number of them.
Okay, so this is 732 South Oakley. It's the 28th Ward. It's Alderman Jason Irvine.
Okay.
This is just a simple brick two-flat.
Okay.
They owe $10,000 in taxes, but I owe this person $6,500. So if they were to come in and say, you owe me on exemptions, they're going to immediately get taken off the tax sale list. And one more,
that would happen. There's no more paperwork to file, nothing like that. If they just came forward and said,
if they
hey.
Came in and they said, you know, I'm the rightful owner of this property, we help them fill out the paperwork uh-huh. to get them off the tax sale
Great.
List. But I want to deal with a suburban issue here. This is in North Riverside. This is a beautiful home, 2930 Desplaines Avenue.
It's like a brick.
In Riverside, a beautiful
Tudor,
brick home.
Maybe?
Yeah. And just, you know, the taxes are $4,400, a little cheaper in North Riverside, but I owe them $3,700. So if you're from North Riverside, talk to somebody at 2930 Desplaines Avenue to get them off the tax sale
Help
list.
Them out.
If you're in
this
Chicago,
is a big deal.
732 South Oakley, find that person. If you live in the 11th Ward, 3230 South Normal, get your friends and family off the list. And finally, if you're in Palatine, go to 909 Fairway Court, knock on the door and say, hey,
you're going to get your home
says,
back.
Get your homeowner exemption. Come on.
Maria, quickly, though, where would people go if someone says, hey, I don't remember exactly the address, but I live in Riverside and I'm willing to go over there? CookCountyTreasurer.com. And then where do you go to find these particular properties?
Okay, to go to you simply go to the purple box.
Right in the middle.
In the middle of the site, punch the purple box, and a bunch of little blanks will show up. Mm-hmm. Just insert your address without the direction of the address, without north, south, east, and west. And you'll know you're in the right place because a picture of the house will show up.
Pop up.
If a picture of the house doesn't show up, this is what you need to do in either English, Spanish, or Polish. Get a pencil, paper, and write this down.
Well, we might be driving, so we'll have to put this on our website. Don't do that. Pull over. Do
okay,
something.
Pull over. 312-443-5100. You can dial that number, and it is exactly like your credit card. You would punch in your 14-digit number.
Your PIN number?
Yeah, you would have to put in your PIN number.
Okay.
Or if you wait, an operator will come on and guide you through this. But let's say that you're in Poland. It's February. Your
you
taxes
think of everything,
are,
Maria. I love this.
No, your taxes are due March 1st. You're in Poland, and you're like, what am I going to do? You go to this site. You go to CookCountyTreasurer.com. You go to the purple box. If you want, you could scroll to the bottom. The whole site will come up in Polish. Just punch Polish.
Right.
Now you're at Polish. You got your address in. It says how much you owe.
Okay.
You punch the pay online. You pay online from Poland.
Okay. All right. Let me get some of these. These are great questions, and I think they actually apply to a lot of people. 708, okay. Do you get the senior discount if only one of us is 65?
Yes. Only one has to be.
Only one. So
yeah.
If you're a couple, you're 55, she's 65, then you're fine. You can still apply for
yes.
it. You get it.
Yes.
This year, 847, I received a letter from the county. I do not have to apply for my senior exemption. Is that true?
Going forward, you don't. Just whoever that is that's asking me that question, go to my site, cookcountytreasurer.com, go to the purple box, put your address in to make sure that you got it for the previous 3 years.
Okay, because if you didn't,
you got that
you can apply
letter telling you you don't need to apply this year because you got it last year. The question is, did you get it for the two previous years?
Okay, and that you need to check on.
Yeah, you can check that.
Okay, so then I've got other ones here. I saw that there was a surplus on my property in years before I owned it. What happens?
You need to, if you're nice, you will call the previous owner and tell them to apply for it. You can't get it if somebody else owned the property.
You're not able to receive
that. No, you
that.
Can't. You
so
can't.
It's
and
kind
I had
of...
somebody in last week who was really upset with me because I wouldn't give them the money that belonged to somebody else. You can't do that.
No. That's,
the,
that
the,
wouldn't be
the
right.
The refund doesn't go with the property.
Okay.
The refund goes to the owner, even if it's the previous owner.
You tell somebody they're getting a couple thousand dollars back. They might take you to dinner or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, cut a deal with them.
All right. Oh, my gosh. We have so many calls. I didn't even. Maria, hang on here. We've got Penny. Penny's got a question about unclaimed property. Hey, Penny, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Yes, thanks. Thanks to your previous program, went and I've already received an unclaimed property, $350, and my husband, $250. So, but there's something old from when my husband owned a business. I'm talking almost 40 years ago, and it lists an address he hasn't lived. That was with his first wife when our adult children were kids and that. And how can I get that when I have no proof now any longer that he lived there and owned that property?
That's a good question.
That's a state issue. Unclaimed property is the state.
Oh.
I work with the city and the county. But
yeah.
If you call the station back after Anna finishes and leave your number, I'll get the number tomorrow and we'll have somebody from my office call you and guide you through the state procedure.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Great.
I think that one is IllinoisTreasurer.gov, but our producer, Jazz, will get your information, Penny, and we're going to get you that information that you need.
Oh, thanks a lot, and she runs a great office.
Thank you.
That's a nice compliment. You do make it easy for people, and that's not always, we all know this with government, it sometimes is a pain even to get your own money back, and you are not like that. You run it in a very user-friendly way so that
people are
able to access what's owed to them, and that's the way it should be, but it isn't always that way. Let's go to the next caller here. We have Joan. I think we answered that question. Can this be done by phone? Joan, go ahead. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, because I don't have a computer.
Okay, so you
Joan, here, call 312-443-5100. That's my phone room. Tell them you just heard me on WGN Radio.
Uh-huh.
Ask them your questions. If they can't answer it, leave your phone number, and I will call you back tomorrow morning.
Okay, that helps.
Oh, that's great. I love you.
I love you, too.
That is awesome. Thanks for calling, Joan. That's a good day for you, I think. That's going to help. And then, Paige, we have you filed for an exemption, but you never heard back. Is that your issue?
Right. So, and every time I try to call the phone number, I just keep getting recordings.
Which number are you calling?
Honestly, I don't have it on me, but it's on the site. I've gone to the site several times, and when I go to what you're talking about, it just says here that I didn't do any exemptions for 2017 and 18, or I'm sorry, yeah, 17 and 18. So I'm trying to understand by going on the site and finding out if I am getting one or what is the where's the status.
Okay, so how long have you owned the home?
2016.
Okay. So you are entitled to your 4 years. So this site tells you that you haven't gotten an exemption. Am I correct?
Right. And then
did
I
you punch the little apply now button?
Well, but that's what I'm trying to say. I went to the court. I went to the actual Skokie. I handed in all my information and everything. Do you know what
okay.
I mean?
All right. The I get records. It. I don't have an office in Skokie, so you want someplace other than to me.
Oh,
here's
sorry.
Where do you live?
Okay, 366 Hatfield Drive.
In what?
In Arlington Heights.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what you do. You call the station after this program's over. Leave your number, and we'll call you tomorrow, and we'll get it straightened out.
Jazz, can you take pages?
Going to that office that you went to is not where my office is. My
okay.
office will help you.
All right. Jerry's going to sort through it for you, Paige. I hope that helps. Jasmine, our producer, will get your information, too, so you don't have to call back. So you're good on that. We're out of time here, but just address this one question because we have a number of texts, and we actually have a caller on the line who is wondering what qualifies you for the senior exemption. Someone else is saying, if I turn 65 this calendar year, do I get the senior exemption?
You have to. It has to be 1 year beyond 65.
So you have to be 65.
You have to be in it for a year at 65, and then the next year you get it.
Okay. That's easy breezy, easy to understand, as most things are on your site here. Again, plug in your address, just check it out. See if you got all the exemptions. See if, you know, somebody in your family maybe isn't looking at them.
And finally, taxes are due March 3rd. So hear me. The weather's bad. We now have more people paying online at CookCountyTreasurer.com than we do going to Chase Bank. And if you pay online, it's free. You can get a receipt that's usable for your income tax purposes. So people like that because nobody wants to go outside in this miserable cold weather.
That's true. It's a great, great, great idea. And Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas, we're so happy you visited and so happy you were able to help out our listeners today.
Yep. We'll have them call your producer.
We will.
And we'll follow up on those numbers tomorrow. And the lady that's calling my phone room, whatever your name is, if my phone room doesn't take care of you, I will.
I know you always do. Maria Pappas, thanks for being here. More to come here on WGN Radio. And of course, the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, now we're back. For real, 206, it's Anna DeVlantis here on WGN, and it's Wellness Wednesday, so we want to get to a lot of stuff here. We were talking about the coronavirus, the address to the nation. Steve's been talking about it in the news. It's going to happen at 5. We're carrying it live here on WGN Radio. So many questions. You know, what will this be about? Probably calming fears and reminding us that, you know, the flu is a much bigger health risk for you. A lot of things there. But the thing that came up, we were talking about earlier on the show, Gwyneth Paltrow. This is in the column and the category of celebrities don't always help situations. She posted a picture of herself on Instagram today that is now being viewed by hundreds of thousands of people and shared. She's on a plane. She's wearing a mask and she's basically talking about being panicked. And remember, she's the actress from Contagion, closely associated with that whole scare thing. So she put that on and everyone's talking about Gwyneth wearing her, looks like a very expensive mask, as you might expect, of Gwyneth Paltrow. I wonder if it's available on Goop. I don't know. I really don't know these answers. But what I'm going to try to find out for us all is Dr. Steve Saltzman can tell us the effectiveness of masks, as we are noticing in the data searches on Google here in the U.S. The searches for masks and where to buy them and do they work, just up thousands and thousands of percentages. People are curious about this. And so we're going to you. Dr. Steve, how you doing?
Okay, Anna, good to talk to you. Gwyneth should stick to candles and ease up on the medical advice, you know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, personal opinion. Yeah, you know, the funny part is I didn't realize you were even going to tell that story, but, you know, that's fine that she's wearing the mask, and I'll tell you about, let's say she's actually wearing the, let's call it appropriate mask if you're actually going to wear it. She's still not fully protected. You know, the mask that if you were going to ever wear a mask, they have these N95 masks. And basically what that means is 95% of small particles will be picked up by the mask and not allowed to penetrate. But the problem is that, and there are many of them, they're not suitable for children. They don't necessarily fit well if you have facial hair. Many times they have to be appropriately fitted so that they can actually protect like they say they would protect. It doesn't cover your eyes. It can't be worn for long periods of time. I mean, there's just so many problems with wearing these masks. And that does, again, like we always talk about, it's okay, fine, your mask is covered. But if somebody sneezes in a plane and it sort of drifts off into your eyes or onto your hands and you touch your face, all of these are potential ways of infecting yourself. So a mask is, you know, even if you're wearing the right mask, in close quarters, doesn't necessarily protect you.
All right. That helps out so much. I know you wear a mask when you do surgery, but would you yourself wear a mask when you go traveling?
Probably not. What I would try to do is limit contact in large public spaces and again, practice all the good hygiene we talk about, Anna, washing your hands, keep your hands away from your eyes, nose, and mouth, avoiding crowds and not sharing stuff, staying home and quarantining yourself if you're sick. And again, we should tell everybody, if in fact people think they're sick, they should not just run out or run to urgent care or emergency room, but contact their primary care physicians first before they do anything so that a good plan can be put into place.
Okay, that makes sense. And thank you for weighing in. I know you're busy and appreciate your time. Dr. Steven Salzman, trauma surgeon, founder of Green Care Medical. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Anne. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. We're back here now with Wellness Wednesday. Some things to talk about with two of our favorite people, Andrea Metcalf. She is Chicago health and fitness expert, entrepreneur, founder of Studios Fuse. And also, hi there, Andrea. How are you?
Good afternoon.
And nutritionist registered dietitian Dawn Jackson Blattner. She's the author of The Superfood Swap, and she's a diet consultant for all kinds of big places like People Magazine. For years, you were with the Chicago Cubs as their official nutritionist, right?
That's right. Happy Wellness Wednesday.
You guys, happy Wellness Wednesday. So perfect that it falls today because this is center of the conversation with the president making this address and the CDC issuing that alert to kind of say, hey, let's get prepared here. Some people viewing that as hitting the panic button. Others are saying, hey, this is just what it should be. It's just like, let's, you know, err on the side of the most caution possible, do what we need to do to have schools and hospitals and big public buildings and everybody ready for it. You guys are, you're doing some traveling, you said, Dawn. Are you going to be subject to mask?
Lots of travel. And anytime I get news like this, right, as I go to the CDC website and get legit information about what I'm supposed to do, because I start, just like everybody, you start like looking around, like you said,
don't go on social media. Don't go on social media today.
And then you have calls from family that is like, you should cancel all of your trips. And it's like, all right, simmer down now. What does the CDC actually say? And it's, you know, very much what your doctor who had just come on said. You know, it's like washing your hands. I'm going to bring extra wipes to wipe down surfaces, right? I'm not wearing a mask. I'm going to do all of the things I always do to boost my immunity, which include keeping my eyes moist, my lips moist, my hands moist, because dry skin lets more microbes in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Dry skin.
Yes. You got to keep your hands moist, wash your hands. You know, I'm not going to like shake everybody's hand. I'm going to huge conferences where everyone's going to shake hands. And Anna, you sent that thing elbow bumps.
We got to talk about this. Andrea, yes. Did you see this? Okay. So the Wall Street Journal had this story about how the tech bros in Silicon Valley, they are doing this thing where they've actually issued official company memos where Mark Andreessen, I think, is one of them. A lot of these big name billionaire types who have companies and are part of that world, saying that here on the company menu, we are no longer going to be handshaking. There's a no handshake policy since the outbreak of the coronavirus. And so they're going to be giving each other an elbow. You give an elbow.
I don't mind it.
You don't mind the elbow thing?
No. I mean, we've been teaching kids for years in the preschools and stuff elbow bump. So why not the adults? I mean, that's where most of this caries is, on your hands anyway. So, yeah. And, you know, I'm always the one who's looking at everybody else when you go in those public bathrooms, like in the airport. Are they washing their hands? Are they singing happy birthday while they're washing their hands for 20 seconds?
That's rare.
Are they using soap?
That's rare in public bathrooms.
I like that. I'll be on the lookout next time in the airport if you're patrolling.
Do you patrol seriously? Do you call them out?
I don't notice. No, I don't say anything to them. I just notice and go like, okay, make sure I'm not sitting next to that person. Move away from them.
Right.
They're not washing their hands.
Yes.
But I mean, it is, I feel like a lot of comfort knowing, like, you know, those basic things can help me, you know, and especially we were talking before too, because we do so much for immunity, like exercise, drink water, eat leafy greens. Like, I have an immune system that is less likely to get things like this and
other infections.
And
if you were to have the virus, you would probably not be symptomatic because you're not in that special pool of people that are older, immune compromised, or very younger or pregnant. And so those things all play a major role in this as well. And we can't, you know, we can't just say, don't do anything. I think the awareness is definitely the right path.
I do, too. And, you know, speaking of Instagram, don't look at Gwyneth Paltrow's Instagram today, but look at Dawn Jackson Blattner's Instagram.
Yes,
DJ Blattner.
Yep.
And you've got your immunity checklist
there. I love
there. It's like a bingo card.
You know what? That's what I designed
it's like
it
a
after.
Bingo card.
It's a bingo card. Because it's basically, you can do food things. You can build up your gut. There's healthy lifestyle things like washing your hands on there. There's body things like we talked about, moisturizing and extra things like supplements that you can even think of.
Zinc, vitamin C.
Yeah, so I have exercise under healthy living, good sleep, right? Drinking water, reducing sugar. I mean, it was just Punschki Day, or how do you say that?
Yeah. Don't get into it. I was wrong yesterday, so let's not go there.
So it's like, okay, we got to, you know, today is like a less sugar day than yesterday. Let's just all point that out.
Okay, can we pause just for a second here? We want to talk more with Dawn Jackson Blattner and Andrea Metcalf on this Wellness Wednesday about some issues in the news, and we got some other things to get to, too, under that umbrella of all things wellness. And by the way, Wellness Wednesdays is sponsored by Grainberry Cereal. Pick up Grainberry Cereal today at your local Jewel Osco store. It's 2:14. We'll have more in a moment. All right, back with Wellness Wednesday here, and Andrea Metcalf is here, Chicago health and fitness expert. She's the founder of Studios Fuse. AndreaMetcalf.com is where you find her. Nutritionist, registered dietitian, Dawn Jackson Blattner. She's the author of The Superfood Swap. And Dawn, we had to interrupt you there because we had to break, but you were talking about immunity boosters and how you have this bingo card, and you just sort of encourage people to do as much as they can to kind of keep track of these things.
Yeah, and I think during times like this, it's just a good reminder that, you know, eating well and exercising and living well, you know, it ends up sort of paying off, right? And it's never too late. So even if you're like, oh no, like I haven't been paying attention to this, it's like, okay, wait, you know what? Maybe I can go out to the store and buy some spinach, you know, and eat a couple of apples. And so, you know, at the end of the day, that's why I actually love nutrition. It's not for weight or vanity. It's just because food really can be magic and your lifestyle really can be magic to boost your immunity.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, there's an exercise component I know that you believe in that, you know, really helps when you're sort of taking care of your body.
That's right. Getting out there and moving is going to help move around, you know, the oxygen and blood flow. And I'd like to just talk to you really quickly about when you shouldn't exercise.
Okay.
And we talk about above the neck, if your symptoms are like cold, sniffles, anything above your chin, then you probably still can exercise and benefit from it. In fact, you probably will feel better because it'll help boost your immune system, get that blood moving. If it's below the neck, stomach, or whatever else happens down there, or fever, then you probably shouldn't be exercising. So that's the only rule of thumb when we do talk about regular exercise. And make it simple. 10 minutes, high intensity, 10 minutes or 30 minutes of walking. Either one works. You don't have to do something special.
I thought you were going to say, especially if you have flu symptoms, don't go to the gym. Because that's another place where it can be a petri dish. If people just show up and they're sneezing all over the equipment, everybody's touching it, right?
Right. You got to make sure you're wiping down the equipment before you get on it, not just after you get off of it. That's just good gym etiquette these days. And if you don't want to use those Clorox wipes or something that's very harsh on your body, go ahead and get tea tree oil, vinegar. Those things work great in a spray bottle.
Tea tree oil or vinegar, too, you're saying. Okay, I hadn't thought of that. So those are good things to wipe down your surfaces.
Yeah, more homeopathic.
If you want to do that. And they're homeopathic. Yes. Very cool.
Yeah.
Joan from Evanston, you're the winner of the Jewel $50 gift card. So congratulations to you. And thanks for playing with that. Your reaction, though, with the Gwyneth Paltrow thing when she's wearing the mask and that kind of thing, it just feels like attention getting, right? This is what this may be about. That's how I read it.
I mean, yes, right?
Yes, totally.
But I think this is a great reminder. Like, it's fun to look at those pictures, but that's not where we should get our advice, right? So it's like, hey, look at it, but then go to the CDC and see what actually the Center for Disease Control is telling you to actually do.
Right. I mean, the relationship with the Contagion movie that she wasn't in, she didn't make it. Maybe that's why she's wearing the mask now. Maybe she feels like she'll make it this time.
I hope so. 773, flu season ends when the weather warms up. Perhaps coronavirus will too. We shall see. That's the thing. We're trying to learn more and more about this. As they say, a vaccine may be 18 months away. I'm sure they may talk about that also this afternoon when we hear from CDC and officials, health officials from the federal government. On the subject of elbow bumps, 708 says, hey, anybody who works in the restaurant industry, we do the elbow bump all the time. I guess it's sanitary. It's a way to kind of.
Okay. So what do you like? What do you think about like a shoulder touch? Like, so if say women, you know, like mm-hmm. we're like, okay, would a elbow bump be weird for me and you? Maybe. But it's like if I just sit like a hello and a tap, what do you feel about that? I feel good about it.
I think a tap's good. Yeah.
Like a little elbow tap, you know.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, I am really bad because I invade people's personal space. I'm a hugger. And so I have to try and restrain myself, especially if I don't really know you that well, because you get freaked out. But I like the tap. I think I could tap somebody.
Like, it's warm.
It would keep
it's
my
touching.
Distance, but
it's
still
touching, but
connection.
Not like hand, you know, the whole petri dish of germs right there.
We're anyway, wash our
when
hands
you say
after
it that
this.
Way, it really makes me rethink the handshake. Well, maybe we should rethink. Should we rethink the handshake? I guess we should.
Yeah, I'm pushing now a petition for the tap, the shoulder tap.
We're going to call it the DJ tap.
I like
DJ
that.
DJ tap, the
I don't
elbow
mind it.
Elbow bump.
I don't
that
mind
that
bump.
Feels awkward to me to get your elbow out whenever you
I
see somebody.
I do feel that's kind of like, yeah, like a, maybe more of a male thing. Like the woman would be like a nice, like, hello.
Hey,
I don't know.
Let's tap. A little tap on
elbow.
The shoulder.
Yep. I feel like I'm doing the chicken dance a little bit with that.
Yeah, the elbow thing kind of looks weird. Yeah. We were mentioning this because they were saying the Wall Street Journal had this article about how with the coronavirus, it's not business as usual. Handshake, no handshake memos are going out at some of the big tech companies, including Mark Andreessen. He's a big venture capitalist billionaire guy who runs multiple companies. And he put out this memo just saying, hey, this is what we're going to do now. No handshakes anymore. We have a no handshake policy. So they suggested alternative greetings such as bowing or waving. And I think the elbow bump. Is what went.
I also
bow.
Like the yoga. Yeah, like
what's the
yoga? Like,
oh.
Like namaste. Like namaste. Just
your hands together in prayer pose.
Little prayer pose. I like that. I think if he was going to be really serious, he should have a mandatory hand washing station and make sure there was a hand check after the bathroom. What do you think of that?
I like it.
I
think they should have some kind of a timer on when a toilet flushes to when if the faucet doesn't go off. There should be an alarm that goes off in the bathroom. Is that going too far?
Hands.
Maybe
no.
That's going
I
too far.
I feel like we've just solved out. World problems
we've got it
right
all
here.
We've got
right
it all
here.
Figured out.
Corona right here.
We've got it all figured out. We're with Andrea Metcalf, the health and fitness expert, Dawn Jackson-Blattner, nutritionist and registered dietitian. She, for many years, was the official nutritionist for the Chicago Cubs, and you know her from being on TV and all kinds of things. She's a regular here as well, and we're happy you both are. One of the things that, speaking of social media posts, Andrea, you had a little mention about I think of you as one of the healthiest people possible. You've always been telling audiences here in Chicago about working out, you know, being healthy in so many ways, mind, body, spirit. And you're like a poster child for that. And yet you post today, you're like, I'm sorry, I just need my wine.
I did. Well, you know what? I think that there's certain things that we have in moderation. And actually, red wine, I'm only having one glass a night, but I do have it. And it's better than having all seven glasses for the week on Saturday. One at a day is what do you think, Dawn?
Oh,
can
yeah,
I live with one glass of wine a day
yeah, so that
from
is,
the RD?
For women, it's one glass. Now, here's the definition of a glass, people.
Okay.
Right? It's
let's
5 ounces.
Yeah.
5 ounces. So, you know, here, you know, what I tell people is pour 5 ounces, measure it once, pour it in your glass, see what it looks like, cry.
Yes.
Okay. You're like, no, it's not like what he's
at the restaurant. At least, you know, I've downsized all my glasses to more European style stemless little glasses mm-hmm. to help with the 4 ounce pour and make it not look so tiny.
So devastating.
But for women, one a day drink, for men, 2 a day drink. And this is not like if you don't drink, it's not like, oh, go start. But
right.
if you are like, you enjoy drinking, that would be what moderate is the definition.
It just feels as if when you look every single day, there's a new study. And I just heard Orion Samuelson talk about studies and how he's always skeptical about them. He's like, find the source, who's behind it, because sometimes they generate headlines and they're not really solid studies. It isn't really great evidence either. The sample size isn't big
or
enough
the
for
correlations.
Correlation, the causation.
We're going to extrapolate this data.
But right. you do see headlines all the time. You go to any health site, any place where you consume your health news, and there's something that says alcohol use is bad for you. No alcohol is good. No alcohol at all is good for you. Or a glass of wine is great for you. Or vodka is actually good. I mean, there's so much conflicting data about that.
But there's never conflicting data about smoking, right? Sure. Smoking cigarettes, we don't ever hear a benefit of that. And so now I'm 50% better because I'm just on the wine. I don't smoke cigarettes.
There you go.
At all.
But you know what? In all seriousness, though, it is true. And that's what gets people to give up on this stuff, especially nutrition. Because they're like, one day this is good for you, the next day it's not. Forget it. I'm just going to live my life however I want to live it. You know, and one of the things, it's really patterns of how you live. So somebody who drinks one drink a day and doesn't exercise, sleeps horribly, stresses off the control, doesn't eat well,
fat.
You know, that's not good. Right. But somebody who has one drink and has exercise and stress management and sleeps well and eats salads, you know, that's a different type of person. So it's all about patterns and also the body of evidence. If you see one study that is different from a million other things you've seen, that's how it can be a red flag of like, hey, there's probably something up here. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. We were talking about greetings and how the handshakes are being rethunk under this new environment of viruses. And 815 says, what about finger guns? Hey.
Like, oh, great to see you. I am a great finger gun girl. I'm on board. Whoever sent that, I'm on board. Boom, boom, boom.
And
boom,
then
boom,
if
boom.
You kind of have a more intimate relationship with someone or you know them very well, you do the kiss, the right?
One of those. Then you're kind of spitting
that's a
into
bite.
The air.
Oh, spitting. Great.
It's kind of spitting
not good.
Into the air. I don't know about the kiss.
Not good. Maybe the kiss is off the list.
I think finger
all
guns,
of our suggestions
elbows,
here.
Taps. Yes. We're building a repertoire.
And the reason why
greetings.
I like that we're strategizing this, and it seems silly, but it's actually smart, is that in order to do something, you have to have a strategy that feels good to you, right? So I'm not going to elbow bump, but no. I'm going to find a strategy that... So us brainstorming is actually very smart because you got to find whatever works for you.
312-981-7200, what would you do? What's your new handshake if you have one or an idea for one, even if it's a silly one? I don't know if I'd like the finger gun if someone just...
Actually, now that I rethink it, actually that seems dangerous and not appropriate, I feel... I mean, you know what I mean.
How
I don't
about
know.
The thumbs up? We'll go back to
the two thumbs up. Hey, yeah. How's it going? Hey. That could work. People are also asking. We've got a text here about what is the bingo card again? That's on Don Jackson Blattner's Instagram.
Yes.
DJ Blattner. It's an immunity checklist, and it's very easy to see because it's laid out like a bingo, exactly like a bingo card. It says there's no bingo in the middle, which you probably should put, because if you get all of them, then you should win something.
True.
Food, you've got the garlic, water, reduced sugar, leafy greens, you've got gut, fresh ginger tea, probiotics. You put all that stuff under there. Then you've got living, wash your hands, sleep, meditate, exercise, body, and you go down with the neti pot. And gargle with salt water is on there. Then your extra credit is the vitamin C, zinc, and oil of oregano. So it's just something they can find if somebody wants to see it. It lays it out really easy, kind of one-stop shopping at a glance kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the reasons why I have that is because I'm obsessed with immunity myself. I travel all the time. I'm always at conferences. I'm doing things. And I want to live the biggest, boldest, brightest life I can. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I've got to feel good. And immunity is the core of that.
I believe that, too. I try to do it myself, not as well as you, but I got and now I will, because I have this little list, this great little list I could look at, and I'm gonna download that and put it on my refrigerator. So there you go. Thank you both. It's always good to see you. Dawn Jackson Blattner, she's the author of The Superfood Swap. Check it out. Andrea Metcalf, founder of Studios Fuse. How do people find you, Andrea?
Find me at AndreaMetcalf.com or StudiosFuse.com or right here on WGN Radio.
And Twitter, too,
Twitter.
By the way, because
talk
about
Twitter,
everything
Facebook,
you love, and
Instagram, Facebook,
including your that you enjoy a glass of wine now and again.
Yes, she caught me.
Thanks, Andrea. Thanks, Dawn. More to come here on WGN Radio, including Lou Manfredini is going to tell us some things about the stinks around your house and in your car. We're continuing this conversation. We started it about a week ago, and we had so many people try to weigh in and say, hey, what should I do for this? What should I do for that? Including the garbage disposal in your sink. When that gets kind of skunky smelling, what do you do? Lou has the answer. He always does. We'll be back with Mr. Fix-It coming up. Anna DeVlantis here on WGN this Wednesday. 2:32 is the time. Hey, we have a couple questions from people. Maria Pappas was kind enough to drop by the studio and help people claim exemptions on their property taxes, Cook County Treasurer, that is. And she had some great advice. We had so many questions for her that I want to make sure we got the number and the website to go in and just plug in your property, your address, if you're in Cook County. Other counties do this, too. I don't have all of the different counties' addresses here with me, but this one I know for sure, very user-friendly, CookCountyTreasurer.com. Her office number, 312-443-5100, and they will tell you if you owed any money that goes back 4 years, I believe. You can apply for it right on the site just by clicking a button. You can check if you have an elderly member of the family, you have a friend or somebody else you want to check in on to see if they've got what they're supposed to have. You can do that too. CookCountyTreasurer.com. You plug in their address and you can say, hey, you've got, it looks like you have some money coming your way. You might want to claim it. And it's pretty easy to do, I've got to say, pretty easy to do. So it was good to see Maria Pappas, and she gave us some very helpful advice. It is also always good to hear from Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. You know, last time we were talking about all the stinks and the smells around the house, and I said I had that thing in my car, that thing that smelled horrible.
And
it's gone. And you're right. You said you might have some spilled milk back there or something. My daughter had like a chocolate milk carton that was wedged underneath the seat that had dripped onto the carpeting. Pulled that out, cleaned it up, and whew, so much better. So much better, Lou.
I love chocolate milk, though.
I know. The little cartons, too. They're so easy now, right? It's like you don't want to ban the chocolate milk,
right,
but you still,
right.
when it starts to sink quite badly when it seeps into the carpeting, I found.
I agree.
One of the things that came up last time, Lou, was also this idea of your garbage disposal. And we didn't get a chance to get to it. And this is a problem I think a lot of people have. When it starts to get kind of smelly, yucky smelling, what do you do about that? So now this person had also said they had tried a number of things and it wasn't working.
So I've given this advice a couple times, many times on my Saturday morning show. And we even shot a video, I host this TV show called House Smarts TV that's on GN television on Saturdays at 3:30. And if you search the website, you'll see a video at HouseSmartsTV.com under Stinky Drains. Two things happen with your disposal and your drains. There is, with the disposal, you've got that rubber, kind of flap so that you can't really see the teeth of the disposal. And when you turn it on, it doesn't spit up in your face. You get all kinds of gunk and funk underneath there that you need to scrub and clean out. And there's all kinds of products you can buy that they say you pour down or, you put lemons in there or ice. That may be effective, but what you need to do is get underneath that flap. So for the disposal, what I have told people is to take a toilet brush, mm-hmm. put it down inside the disposal. Of course, the disposal is off. We're going to make sure that's off. And you're going to pour a little Pine Sol right over the top of this onto the now toilet brush that's inside the disposal. And you're going to scrub the side walls of the disposal and the underside of that rubber flap. It's not a bad idea to wear some rubber gloves. And it's going to flick around. Mm-hmm. So be careful because you may get caught in the eye. The same is true, Anna, in your sink drain. So if you don't have a disposal, you may look down your drain. You see a little crisscross there. You can buy something at the hardware store called a tube brush. It's very similar to like bottle brushes you used to do when your kids were, taking milk out of a infant bottle. Mm-hmm. And so that goes in between those two little crisscrosses. And the same thing with the Pine Sol. There's a tail piece, what's called, that comes from the sink and usually connects to the P-trap. And the smell is in that little length of pipe.
Oh.
This is also true, very true. I get this all the time in vanity sinks, in particular, where people wear makeup and they wash their face and the makeup comes off and that can catch on the side of it. And sometimes, if you're washing your face, taking your makeup off, you're like, ooh, what is that smell? It's that tailpiece in the drain that's above the P-trap, which is why you smell it.
And what is it that actually, is it just grease and a number of different things?
It's oil and grease and makeup and all kinds of crazy things.
Okay.
The same is true for a drain in a tub and a drain in a shower.
Okay.
So this Pine Sol trick with the brush works in the drains, and the Pine Sol trick with the toilet brush in the vanity works as well.
All right, two questions about the dishwasher smells. Well, first of all, is there a general rule for getting rid of the smelly dishwasher? Does that usually mean mold?
No, not necessarily. A lot of times what happens with smell there is, first of all, most, if you have a European dishwasher, there is a screen that has to come out and has to be occasionally cleaned. Probably, depending on how often you run the dishwasher, once a week.
Okay.
American dishwashers have a built-in disposal. Europeans don't. They like Bosch, Miele, Gaggenau, these all have these filters that you have to pop out, and it's like a handle. You pop it out and you clean it out, and that's good to go. The other odor can come from people listening now, if you open up your dishwasher right now and you take a look at the rubber gasket around the door or around the frame of the door, in particular down the hinges, it looks awful. And you need to clean it, and some of the smell can be coming from there. And that's a simple cleaner. You could spray it with Fantastic. Actually, what works great is dishwashing soap and a sponge with a little scrubber. Scrub all that clean. Pay very close attention to little fittings and everything that are inside of the bottom of the toilet. There's a solenoid that goes up and down that senses the water. Make sure around that it's clean. Now, if the dishwasher has never smelled before and now this, you know, odor is coming out of nowhere, more than likely that's it. There is that drain hose that comes out of the dishwasher that when it comes into the sink, it should go up and over so it creates an airlock so that it acts like a trap. And normally under, you know, if it's been installed properly and you've never had a problem, that really doesn't change. It's probably the fact that your dishwasher around that gasket is dirty, and that's where you're getting the odor.
All right. And we did tackle this issue, but we have another question. The washing machine musty smells. I get this, too. And you said that's often the front loader washing machines that have that problem.
Super common on the front loaders because you've got this you got this rubber bladder that connects the drum to the frame of the unit. And so it's almost like you got to fold the rubber out of the way. There's a drain hole in there, but water can sit there. And many times that sock you can't find is sitting in there and it's covering that hole. And so it's never dry and that moisture can come from there. I really like, if there's nothing there and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. There's no sock. It still smells. Pull that back. The mildew mold smell, there's a cleaner you can buy called Concrobium, which is a mold and mildew cleaning product that's very effective. Spray that on that rubber after you've done a load of laundry and let it sit there and let it do its work to neutralize anything that might be on that rubber bladder. And then as a rule, if you have a front-end loader, which it makes no sense to me that they have not figured this out yet.
Right.
You got to leave the door open when you're not using it.
And then the light is on. I said that's the problem I see. My light's on.
The newer models, the light eventually times out. But you're right. For some, it still may be on. That's true.
All right. Anna, tell Lou, be sure to use a new toilet brush, only used for the kitchen, so people don't use their actual toilet brush.
Well, I mean, I promise you that your disposal is not as dirty as your toilet. I mean, You're not
cross-contaminating?
Yeah, that isn't necessary when you consider what it's used for.
Okay, all right. These are separate issues. How about this one, Luke? Question for you as we're running on time here, but we have a number of things. We have a window well that leads to under our deck. When it gets warm, there's a skunk smell in our basement. If we have a dead skunk, would it smell like skunk or rotten animal? What can we do?
There could be. There could be a dead skunk, or there could be skunks living in the window well, and when that warm, or if there was a time when the skunk was there and it sprayed, when it warms up, not unlike your milk in your car, that's when you smell it the most. And so something like that, you may want to put, I think I talked about an enzyme that you could put down there called OdorZout, which is a sprinkle of granule that can absorb that down there. But bottom line is when it warms up, you may want to take that lid off. And if it's possible for you to get down there, you may want to scrub those sidewalls. And sometimes it's as simple as just using a detergent and warm water like Spick and Span, which is sodium carbonate, which will get into the it'll soak in a little bit to the concrete as you scrub it, and that should help eliminate the odor.
playing Find the Smell 912 is part of the fun of being a homeowner. It's so true. And when you find it, it feels so good. 847, let's make this our last one because we're running out of time here with Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Smelly seals on the refrigerator. Never had this issue with my older model. Had for 20 years. I've cleaned it several times, wiped the seals, pulled it away from the wall, clean behind it, unable to eliminate that fridgy odor.
So if you've got a fridge odor, sometimes what I will tell you is that there is a channel behind the back panel, which is used when the self-defrosting fridges work. And sometimes there's a little drain in there can get clogged. And that's where the mildew smell can come from. This is a little involved, but the back panel of the fridge, when you take all the shelves out, comes off. And this little trough in the back, 9 times out of 10, that's clogged, and that's where the odor's coming from. And you can do it yourself. You can find a YouTube video on this, or you can hire an appliance repair person to come out, and it'll probably cost you $200.
Okay. That's very helpful stuff. Get rid of that refrigerator odor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lou. Mr. Fix-It.
My pleasure.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts here on WGN Radio Saturday mornings. What, 7 to 10 are you? And then on the television at what time in the afternoon?
3:30 on Saturdays on WGN 9. TV.
Thank you, Lou. Always good.
You got to take care.
Thanks for the help on everything smelling around the house. We have first of all, we're going to say goodbye to Lou by pressing that little button right there, and then we're going to tell you this. Did you hear what the Chicago Archdiocese said? All these plant-based burgers and the fake meats, the soys, plant-based proteins, that's not okay if you're giving up meat for Lent. They're saying it's not in the spirit of things. So that's one of the trending topics we'll be talking about here on the show. It is 2:44 here on WGN. All right, Steve Bertrand is here and Lauren Lapka are here. We're talking about some things in the news right now. How about this for a good idea? Rogers Park Restaurant is hosting a Florida Keys pop-up just for the winter weather. Isn't that a good idea?
I like that.
They're just saying, okay, they have their restaurateurs, 6580 North Sheridan Road. They're going to do the tropical decor, completely new menu, highlight Caribbean-inspired food native to the Florida Keys. That sounds like a good idea. I do like going to like a tiki bar or something in midwinter just to kind of get through and have a tropical drink and pretend.
You wear shorts to you and
yeah,
a halter.
Hawaiian, right? Yeah, I don't know. Just anything. It works somehow.
Yeah, mentally escape for a little bit.
Right.
Just a little bit.
There are a number of tiki restaurants or tiki bars kind of things across the Chicago area, and those are ranked here too. Chicago Eater has a whole bunch of them about River Grove. It's got Hala Kahiki, but so many. I mean, really, it seems like a lot of people do kind of love going to the tiki spots, the bars.
So you go to a tiki bar and you drink out of a pineapple or something?
You drink something that's got an umbrella in it with a pineapple attached to it, and it just feels really good, Steve. In the middle of winter, it just feels good.
Okay.
This is what happens. It's very simple, but it does the trick. They've got one in Des Plaines every Friday, Saturday. It's the Tiki Terrace. They feature the Echoes of Polynesia Review. It's a show. And sometimes, just sometimes, Tiki Elvis stops by for a song.
There you go.
So who wouldn't like that? With your pineapple and umbrella drink. It all is working. So that's a cool thing to talk about when you think about you want to get through the winter, the strategies we all employ this time of year, end of February. Archdiocese of Chicago, this is certainly making news today. I saw this in the Tribune this morning because I thought, well, okay, the plant-based meats, the burgers that are soy-based or protein-based or whatever, if they're pea or whatever the plant-based substance is, are they okay during Lent if you're giving up meat? And I kind of thought, yes, that makes sense.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's not meat.
Right. That's not sure because apparently the Archdiocese of Chicago is saying, nope, that's not really in the spirit of everything.
But technically you're okay, but it's just sort of you're skirting the spirit of it, I think.
The spirit of it. I've never understood this because I always thought, you know, God would not care what goes in your mouth. He cares what comes out of your mouth.
Oh,
you know?
Wow, look at that.
Listen to that.
Process.
Let that sink
There's
in.
There's your mic drop right there.
Gee. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Lauren, that's a well thought out statement there. I'll just take a second to just take that in. That's really great. What they're saying here in this article, the whole tradition in practice is to go without in order to be in solidarity with those who are hungry and those who can't afford meat. So that's the message from the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And if you like fish, you're in luck.
I love fish.
Right? Well, so then what's the sacrifice?
Yeah, there isn't. You're right. There isn't a sacrifice.
No. So you should have to have hamburger. Like chuck roast. You should have chuck roast all through the way.
Is that I don't know if that's in the spirit of things, Steve. I'm going to check with the Archdiocese on that, but I'm going to bet they would disapprove of that whole thing. I am going to ask them. I'll see what they say. All right, we've got another thing here. We were talking about the surgical masks. Do they really work with Dr. Steve Saltzman earlier? Because the searches for surgical masks and the masks that people are, you know, looking at this virus and that kind of thing, it's a bit panic, you know, fueled. Not necessary, but, you know, look, people are trying to find these, and that's happening. The N95 is the one that filters out 95% of the germs heading your way. But they say there's all kinds of issues. If it fits right, if you have facial hair, it doesn't necessarily work. If it isn't snug.
It's
got to
be a little sweaty. And
right. You can't wear it for too long. Kids can't use them.
But how do you drink at the tiki bar?
I guess you could get a nice... straws are not in vogue anymore, but you could try to work a straw around one of those. It wouldn't look that attractive at the tiki bar.
Might draw attention.
So, but that's what the doctor said when he weighed in earlier, as that story is also trending. McHenry Drive-In Theater operator announces purchase of property, which is welcome news for movie fans. So they're going to keep that going, the McHenry Outdoor Theater, and they're going to be showing movies there this summer.
You don't see many of those anymore.
I love them. And it's just, they're very hard to find.
When's the last time you went to one?
I think I was probably about 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I was in California, though. I was on vacation, and there was like a Star Wars movie that was playing, and that seemed perfect for an outdoor venue.
When I was in high school, in Kankakee, there was one on Route 17, but they would show, I don't know what you called them then, softcore films, or they were definitely beyond R-rated films.
Wow.
So you just drive, you know, down the road very slowly.
You would kind of see it.
Right, a little bit. But you never really could. But it was like, yeah, they had the outdoor films there.
It's so weird that they would play something like that, though.
I did see Benji there, too. But I swear that they would show those movies.
Was it really late at night?
I would imagine. I mean, it couldn't have been that late. 9 or 10 o'clock or something.
Dark, yeah, but I was just wondering if they waited. It was like the second movie.
Till 3 a.m. or something.
I don't know. I wonder how they play that kind of thing, because it is open. 847, if I was Catholic, I'd eat an egg and pepper sandwich and fantasize it was a steak. Okay, that's one way to go about it kind of thing. Going to pick one item a day to donate to charity for Lent. That's 847.
That's a good way to go about
thinking about the spirit of things. Right. So there you go. Daughter worked at Forever Hollywood Cemetery in Hollywood. They always have outdoor films in the cemetery.
Ooh.
Imagine seeing a creepy movie.
Yeah, that'd be fun, actually.
Thank you, 630. I hadn't thought about that. Never heard of that before. Trending also, here it is, add a word, ruin a TV show. The Simpsons becomes the O.J. Simpsons. Grey's Anatomy becomes Christian Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
From 50 Shades of Grey, Christian. A little different than the Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. I would say. And then Dora the Ford Explorer. I like that one. What would she do? She'd travel around. She should travel in a Ford Explorer. That's perfect for her. The Steve Harvey Weinstein Show.
No, ooh, that would not be good.
No.
That'd be 0-2, really, isn't it?
Yeah. No. The Kanye West Wing.
Good. That would be fun.
Who knows? That could happen.
Kanye's president.
Don't rule that one out. Game of Porcelain Thrones. People are so creative. This baby.
Hey guys, can I just interrupt you for a second?
Sure, something news?
Yeah, we're getting some reports of an active shooter situation at Miller Coors in Milwaukee. We really do not have a lot of details at this point. I just kind of wanted to let you know about the situation, and we will bring them to you as soon as we get them.
Okay, active shooter at Miller Coors Stadium is what
in Milwaukee. No, Miller Coors, I believe it's their...
like factory?
Yeah, at their factory or their offices, somewhere like that.
Okay.
In the Milwaukee area. There is a Miller Coors in Chicago, but it is strictly in Milwaukee.
Okay, that's good to know. Kim Gordon in the news, she'll have more on that at the top of the hour for sure, and our news department will be on top of that, as well as following the presidential address today with the health officials and the CDC and everyone. Around 5 o'clock is when it's supposed to begin, and we will carry that live, but it seems like it could be a busy, busy afternoon in the news. Couple more trending topics here we'll get to. Oprah Winfrey Show is going to be recycled as a weekly podcast. 25-year vault of all her legendary interviews, aha moments, cries, and unforgettable surprises. Robert Feeder writes about this today, Chicago Media News, and it's interesting that they decided to do that, make it all kind of available for you. I guess right now it's YouTube is where you would find it. I wouldn't even know where to find it.
Yeah, I would have no clue.
Where she would have all her you know, kind of thing. The first
is it
10,
on demand?
Yeah, is it on demand? If it ain't, how do you find it these days? The first, this one will be, yes, this one will be. 4,500 episodes of the Whoa. Oprah Winfrey Show from here in Chicago in her 25-year spectacular run. And the first 10 installments are going to focus on race relations, drug addiction, divorce, and weight loss. So maybe they consolidate some of the episodes together. You can kind of take it all in if you want to. Then there was this news here, FDA accusing Jimmy John's of serving vegetables linked to E. coli and salmonella outbreaks. They're saying certain vegetables it served were implicated in 5 outbreaks of E. coli and salmonella in the past 7 years. Doesn't sound too appetizing. So food safety is their priority, they say, and they're on it, Jimmy John's.
Sure hope so.
You hope so, yeah. It seems like some brands kind of become associated when there are an outbreak. Remember the whole thing with Chipotle? Right. And it was hard for them to get past that for a while because they had multiple issues.
Right. And mentally,
clean up that supply chain.
Yeah, you can't really help it. It's just kind of in your brain, and then you just
right. You forever associate it with the brand.
Yeah.
Maybe not always fair, but that's kind of the way things go. 5-time major champ Maria Sharapova finally retires from tennis at the age of 32.
So young, isn't it?
I thought the same thing. She's had some, I guess, issues with her arm or elbow or something. And so she is saying, hey, I've got to hang it up. But amazing. 5 Grand Slam titles and for a long time ranked number one. So pretty cool. That's going to wrap it up for us here. We're going to check in with Ro Khan, see what's coming up on his show in Studio A, 3 o'clock tonight. He'll, of course, during his broadcast, there will be the address from the president that will be carrying live on the coronavirus, and health officials, CDC officials, will all be gathered there with that. And we'll talk to him, see what's coming up on the show outside of that here on WGN.